This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today.
I got up at about 7 this morning, and I went down to my office to print out the final draft of my sermon. And I made all of my changes, my final changes, and I said, print. You know what the computer said? Not me. Not today. In fact, for the last 2 weeks, it seems like everything has been breaking. The chair in my office, I sat down on the chair, and the next thing I know, I'm on the floor. It broke under me. We have two computers because I have an office, and right outside of that, my wife, who's the church secretary, has an office. Guess what? Her computer just decided, I don't want to work at all. And so it won't even load up the operating system. It just sits there and blinks at you. So right now, we have two computers and three printers, and none of it works. To top it all off, yesterday we took her car and put it in the shop, or the day before. Now, I don't like that. That frustrates me. But have you noticed this? That seems to happen all the time. Things just don't seem to go right. There's always something in our circumstances that seem to get out of whack. Things don't go the way we want them to go. Somehow or other, our circumstances just don't work out. And we're going, why? Why? How many of you believe that God is good? Amen. How many of you know that God's plan and purpose for us is to bless us, is to lift us up, is that we might have, in fact, the scripture says, abundant life. That's what God's purpose for us is. Amen. That's what our mission statement is here, Covenant Community, equipping people to live the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. God intended for us to have blessing. He intended for us to have abundant life. Guess what? He did not intend for us to be pressed down by our circumstances. In fact, go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. From the very beginning, God's purpose for us was blessing. God's purpose for us was that we would be over circumstances rather than under them. What did he give us in Eden? He gave us a perfect environment. God created man to have dominion over this earth. God gave us dominion. In fact, he said in the book of Genesis, he said, when we create man, he said, let us create him in our own image and give him dominion over every physical aspect of this planet, over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the animals on the ground, the very fabric, the physical fabric of our creation. God gave us dominion over it. But what happened to us? One day a serpent came along. And there was Eve just walking through the garden, having a good time, looking at all the beautiful things that God had given for Eve and Adam to enjoy. And the serpent came up and said, what? There's one thing, Eve, that you haven't been touching. It's that tree right over there. That one that looks so good. That one that has the beautiful flowers on it and the smell is so wonderful. Eve, why don't you go pick a fruit off that tree and eat it? Eve said, no, we can't do that. God said, don't do that. God said, in the moment that we do that, we will die. And the serpent said, what? You're not going to die. Don't you know that God is running a game on you? God knows that in the moment that you eat from that tree, which is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to be just like him. You'll know everything he knows. You'll be able to decide for yourself between good and evil. And Eve said, sounds good to me. So she went and she ate. And it says her husband was standing there right beside her. And she gave to him and he ate also. And in that moment, something happened. In that moment, something happened that changed everything for us throughout all of time. In the moment that they ate of that fruit that they had been forbidden to eat, They died spiritually. Their whole nature changed from a nature that was alive to God and responsive to God. Adam used to walk with God in the cool of the morning. But the moment they ate, they suddenly became estranged from God. So there was suddenly introduced into them the spiritual death that God had said would happen if they disobeyed him. And here's the horrible thing about it. The scripture says that not only did Adam and Eve die, but everybody since them inherited that changed nature, that nature that leads to death from Adam and Eve. And so from the moment that they ate of that fruit, it was all changed. Here's the worst part of it. The scripture says that in the moment that they ate from that fruit, not only were they changed, but all of creation was corrupted. All of creation was corrupted. God told Adam, because you have eaten of this fruit, Adam, because you have disobeyed me, because you didn't do what I told you to do, you didn't keep my commandment, from this moment forward, this ground that would just spring up with wonderful things to eat, you didn't even have to till it. All you had to do was just kind of move the weeds out of the way to pick the fruit. But from this moment forward, this ground will no longer be fruitful for you. You will have to till it by the sweat of your brow. You're going to have thorns and thistles and all kinds of obstacles in your way. In other words, Adam, your circumstances are now going to become something that puts pressure on you. You see, in the moment that we fell by sin, all of creation fell. All of it. The scripture says that the creation groans waiting for God to come and to redeem it from what we did to it when we sinned. You want to know why things don't work out in your life the way that you want them to work out? It's because the whole world around you has been corrupted to the point that it no longer works for you. In many ways, it works against you. Understand this. Everything that's going wrong in your life, everything that causes you to be discouraged, depressed, defeated, all of those things that get in your way on a day-to-day basis, on a week-to-week basis, when you go to the job and the job is just, man, I don't know if I can take this another day. This boss I've got, how in the world did they ever put him into management in the first place? It's just not right. I can't stand it. Or worse than that, you've been pounding the pavement for the last 6 weeks, resume in hand, looking for a job. And there it is in the paper. It's exactly what you do, exactly what your skills are and your education. And you go and you put in your resume and they say, well, we'll get back to you. And it's been 6 weeks and they haven't gotten back to you yet. And you're going, oh, why can't I seem to get a job? Or you go home after work. After you had that horrible day at work, you go home after work and your husband or your wife meets you at the door and says, you know, the water main broke and we got a foot of water in the basement. Or the kids, oh, you've got to do something about your kids today. They're your kids when they mess up. You've got to do something about your kids. They have had me climbing up the wall all day. And you're already got all of this stress and strain on you. You just wanted to come home and relax. And suddenly, instead of taking the pressure away, there's more of it. What's happening? Your circumstances. Circumstances have been corrupted. How many of us here have ever gotten down because of our circumstances? Amen. Amen. You see, this world, because it has been changed by sin, is set up to frustrate you in your circumstances. Understand that. There will never come a time, I don't care how good a Christian you are, I don't care how long you live, I don't care how righteous and holy you are, there will never come a time when all of your circumstances line up, you don't have any problem, everything works for you. I'm sorry to have to tell you, but some of us here will have a flat tire someday. Some of us here, our car will break down. Some of us here are going to be so foolish that we do run out of gas. All of those things are going to continue to happen because what? of the way the world is. Take it a step further. Some of us here will get sick. You know why we get sick? God never set it up that way. He never intended for Adam and Eve to have to deal with illness, but what is that? That's a result of the fall. That's a result of this corruption of this creation that took place because of our sin. You see, everything that's going wrong in our lives in terms of our circumstances is because sin has corrupted the very creation that we live in. Think about it for a moment. Sin has corrupted everything it touches, starting with us. How many of you here today would admit that sin has already done a number in your life? It's already messed up some stuff in your life. Isn't that right? I won't ask for a show of hands. But how many of us here, at some point in our lives, for example, we wanted a relationship with somebody, and we just had to have a relationship with that particular person. Everybody who knew us was telling us, you don't want that person. That's not the person for you. Please, do not continue in a relationship with that particular person. And you said, I want them. I gotta have them. And what happened? You got them. And about 2 years later, you're going, oh, why in the world didn't I listen? What's going on? You were corrupted by sin. Your very thought processes had been corrupted by sin. See, that's what happened to us. We bring much of it on ourselves because of the way that we think, because our minds have been corrupted by sin. How many of you ever have somebody do something to you that they shouldn't do? You know it, and you feel like they ought to know it. Amen? I remember I was in Israel, getting ready to come back. And I was standing in line at the airport, had my luggage and everything, was a long line. And this man, he was British. This man came up, had all of his luggage on a cart, came up to where I was in the line, stepped in front of me, pushed right into the line, and then just stood there as if nothing had happened. And I'm going, wait a minute. There are rules about this kind of thing. What does he think he's doing? What in the world could have been going on in somebody's mind to make him think it was all right to do that? Understand this. Because our minds have been corrupted by sin, we will do things that are wrong and think it's right. We will do what is absolutely wrong, and somehow or other we will rationalize ourselves into believing that it's right. Understand that you will do that and people will do that to you. You see, that's why your circumstances go wrong. Because everything has been corrupted by sin. Jesus said that I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. You know what that says to me? He meant to do something about this situation where we have been under the pressure of our circumstances. That's part of the reason he came. Because understand this, you cannot have abundant life if your circumstances are whipping you back and forth every day. If what is happening in your life is causing you to have no peace, to live in frustration and fear and anxiety and anger and bitterness and resentment, and why are they doing this to me, and how come nothing ever works my way, if that's what's going on in your life, you cannot have abundant life. So if Jesus came to give us abundant life, then somehow he's got to deal with what our circumstances in life are doing to us on a daily basis. Look at what he says, Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Did you catch what he said there? The first thing he said in that verse is, by one man's offense, death reigned. You know why your circumstances never line up? It's because death is reigning in this world. You see, that's what sin does. Everything sin touches, it puts to death. What is sin? Go back to Adam and Eve. The serpent said to them, you can make up your own mind about right and wrong. You know what that said to Adam and said to Eve? Hey, we don't have to depend on God anymore. We can make up our own mind about what we want to do. We can do things our way. Understand this. You don't have to shoot somebody. You don't have to sell drugs. You don't have to steal something to be in sin. All you have to do is tell God, God, I don't care what you say. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's what sin is all about. Once I got saved, I started to get slick about it. See, there were some things I wanted to do that I kind of figured if I asked God, then God would say no. So guess what I did? I just decided I won't ask him. If he didn't tell me no, then I can go ahead and do what I want to do. Well, you know what? That doesn't work either. That's still just as much the sin attitude as that open defiance that says, God, I know you said it, but I'm not going to do it. I remember once I was working for IBM, and I was managing a small group, and another manager did something to one of my people. And it was one of those things that he had no right to do it, no right to say what he said. It made me angry. And I decided that right now, and I really thought about this. I said to myself, before I cool off, I'm going to sit down and write a letter to this guy. I wanted to make sure I did it before I cooled off. And when I did that, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, don't do it. Don't do it. And you know what I said? Look, this guy had no right to do this. I need to make sure he understands that. I'm going to write this letter. And I wrote the letter. And I sent it. And the next thing I know, my manager calls me into his office and goes, don't do that again. Don't handle it that way. See, what was going on? God was trying to keep me from getting in hot water. He was trying to keep me from making the circumstances worse. But what happened? I said, I'm going to do what I feel like doing. And right now, what I feel like doing is letting this person have a piece of my mind. Understand, you can't treat my people that way. Not my people. Uh-uh. And don't we do that all the time? We know that God is saying, don't do this. And yet we say, God, I'm going to work it out for myself right now. Lord, if I wait on you, I won't get what I want. If I wait till I cool down, Lord, then the letter I write won't be the letter I really want to write. So I'm going to do it right now, even if you told me not to. And so your husband or your wife does something and you want to let them know how you feel about it. And you can feel inside the Holy Spirit saying to you, don't say that to them. Don't say that to them. How many of you have ever overridden what you knew you shouldn't say and said it anyway? Amen. Mm-hmm. Did it work out for you? I don't think so. You see, because of that corruption of sin that says, I want it my way. I want to do what I want to do. We get ourselves into situations where our circumstances put pressure on us. And so we're putting pressure on ourselves. The people around us will put pressure on us because they're doing what they think is right and it's not right. Even the very physical universe. How many of you know, just to take one example, that the spread of AIDS is caused by sin? The spread of AIDS is caused by sin. Why? If tomorrow people started doing what God said do with regard to their sexual lives, guess what? The spread of AIDS would be stopped in its tracks. Isn't that right? What's going on? Sin. Our sin, the sin that we as human beings brought into this world, is corrupting the very physical world that we live in. Look again at that verse 17, Romans 5:17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Do you catch that? God is saying, look, sin and death have been reigning in this world. They have been in control. But those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness from Jesus Christ, they will begin to reign in life instead of sin and death. Hallelujah. How many of you want to reign in life? How many of you want to be up instead of down? How many of you want to see your circumstances not have control and power over you so that you are whipped back and forth by everything that happens in your life, but you ride above the circumstances of your life? And understand this, God has never promised that he's always going to make circumstances line up for you. That's not the promise that he makes. But what he promises is that you will be able to ride over the top of your circumstances and not be pulled down by them. And so he says, this Jesus, he came for the purpose that he would bring us the ability, the power to reign in life so that our circumstances will not overwhelm us. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. 1 John 3, 8. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, understand, whether you realize it or not, there are some works of the devil that have built up in your life. Some of us have spent years helping the devil build up stuff in our lives. Isn't that right? Some of us have attitudes. Now, I hate to use this example because I have to admit, this applies to me. But how many of us, when we're late and we need to get someplace, we will just push down on the accelerator just a little bit more than the speed limit allows because we need to do it? That's that attitude that says, if I need to do it, I'm going to do it. Now, I know that God says that I am to be obedient to every ordinance of man. But you know, Lord, it's dumb to have a speed limit of 55 up here on the highway when everybody's already going 65 and a lot of them are going 75. Lord, that's dumb. But I have yet to find the verse that says, don't obey if it's dumb. I'm still looking for that verse. You see, we come with attitudes that tell us that we can get away with disobeying God, get away with trying to make things work out for ourselves, get away with doing things even if we know they're harmful and hurtful to other people, but because we think we deserve it. And God is saying to us, hey, wait a minute. That's not the way to get control of your circumstances. I sent my son. I sent Jesus, and he came for the purpose of taking care of the situation where your circumstances are overwhelming you. And so it says that he came to us so that we might reign in life through the abundance of grace and of righteousness. What does it mean to reign? It means that you're the one that's in control. Through Christ, you're the one that's in control. You are the one that's in control of your life. Understand this. Not even the devil himself can have control over your life when you're reigning in life. Do you know that the devil wants to destroy you? In John 10:10, where Jesus talks about coming to give us abundant life, he says that the thief, that's the devil, comes only for the purpose of killing, stealing, and destroying. That's the devil's purpose in our life, and he will do anything within his power to kill, to steal, and to destroy within your life. And yet Jesus said, I came so that you can reign. He who reigns looks down upon those who are reigned over. You know what the scripture tells us? Because we have been given the ability to reign in life, when Satan comes to us and tries to steal and to kill and destroy in our life, all we have to do is raise our foot, put it down on top of him, because he is already under our feet. We reign. He is subject to us. We don't have to be afraid of what the devil can do in our lives. We don't have to be afraid of what he's going to cause other people to do in our lives. I used to know somebody that was always so fearful of being taken advantage of. And they were, anytime they interacted with somebody, they were always so suspicious. Now, what's the person's real motive? Somebody comes up to them and says, well, hi, isn't it a beautiful morning? And they say, well, now, what do they mean by that? Because they were so suspicious about the motives of the person. I don't want to be taken advantage of. Well, guess what? When I'm reigning in life, I don't have to be afraid of being taken advantage of. I can be open and I can be free with people. I can be generous with people. Because guess what? If somebody does take advantage of me, you know who's got my back? Hallelujah. I've got the Lord of the universe at my back. He has promised that he would be my protection. He has promised that he would take care of me. He has promised that he would supply every need that I have. I don't have to worry about trying to make sure nobody takes advantage of me, takes a few pennies from me. Because even if it were to happen, guess what? God's got it. Hallelujah. But you see, I don't have to be afraid of people taking advantage of me. I don't have to be afraid of the fact that somebody doesn't like me. If I'm reigning in life, The scripture says that no weapon that's formed against me is going to prosper. You may have it in you. You may have the desire to do everything in your power to put me down. Everything in your power to destroy my reputation. Everything in your power to make sure I never get that promotion. But guess what? Scripture tells me that God is the one who sets some up and puts others down. That promotion doesn't come from the north or the south or the east or the west. But it's God who promotes. Hallelujah. See, so I don't have to be afraid. If I'm reigning in life, all of these circumstances that the devil can try to arrange for me, or that other people can try to arrange for me, or even my own foolishness sometimes arranges for me, none of these circumstances can have power over me if I'm truly reigning in life. What does it take for us to receive that promise that we can reign in life? Jesus said, it is for those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. What is grace? Grace is the unmerited, unlimited favor and sufficiency of God to meet every need that we have. You know what that means in practice? It simply means this: God gives us the good things that we don't deserve, and he keeps back from us the bad things that we do deserve. That's what grace is. He gives us what we don't deserve, and he doesn't give us what we do deserve. That's grace. And he says his grace is sufficient to meet every need. Look at 2 Corinthians 9:8. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Did you catch that? That you, always having all sufficiency in all things. What is it that's not covered by that? What is it that's not covered by God's grace? What circumstance in your life can't his grace deal with? That you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. In other words, everything that you need to do what God has called you to do in this life, everything that you need to have the abundant life that Jesus came to give us, everything that you need to be on top and not under the bottom, God has already provided it for us through his grace. Hallelujah. Through his grace. His grace is sufficient for every need that we have. And so Jesus said, look, when you have the abundance of grace, you're covered. You're covered. There will not come a circumstance in your life that can overwhelm you, or that can pull you down, or that can keep you under. Whatever you need, God's grace will cover it.